Diese ganze Woche schon trifft unser Reporter Moritz Metz auf dem 28. Chaos Computer Kongress interessante Menschen und ihre Projekte und erzählt uns dann bei D-Radio Wissen davon. Heute hat Moritz Mark von Seca Rendero alias Bicycle Mark getroffen, einen Citizen Reporter, der seinen Schwerpunkt auf internationale Konflikte legt. Er geht dahin, wo die anderen Reporter nicht mehr sind oder auch in Regionen, die seiner Meinung nach vom Medientross komplett vernachlässigt werden. Er geht nach Afghanistan, in den Kosovo, nach Georgien, Somalia und dann bloggt er seine Geschichten und Interviews mit Menschen. Im Kosovo zum Beispiel hat sich das so angehört.
So hello everyone, there you have it, we're here with self-proclaimed geek Gent Tachi, and we're here in Pristina in a tavern. Tirana tavern. So is this particularly Albanian, this place?
Yes and no. You have good local rakia, which is an alcoholic drink. You have good meat, not for vegetarians. Not a really good place for vegetarians, but it's a really good place.
Now Gent, everybody says to me, as I ask questions, because I'm always asking questions.
Der Citizen Reporter Mark von Seca Rendero alias Bicycle Mark bei der Arbeit. Ein Ausschnitt aus seinem Podcast. Hören wir dann auch gerade im Hintergrund dudeln. Ja, man hört es so ein bisschen raus. Eine Mischung aus politischem und persönlichem. D-Radio Wissen Reporter Moritz Metz hat diesen Bicycle Mark heute auf dem 28. Chaos Computer Kongress getroffen und hat ihn als erstes gefragt, was ihn eigentlich als Citizen Reporter von anderen Journalisten unterscheidet.
The difference between me and perhaps the traditional journalist is that I do things very much on my own since the beginning. There was never anyone that let me in to the world of journalism. I pushed myself into the world of journalism among just my audience via my website. So the idea of being a citizen journalist, maybe it's just a label, but for me it just means I do it on my own or directly with my audience, and there's no in-between, and that includes no formal structure in terms of funding or how my job is done. I decide.
What kind of stuff do you report on?
I call it underreported news, primarily conflicts, not the conflicts that are on the front pages, but the conflicts that are perhaps nonviolent or forgotten because they're so old. So I'm very interested in human rights issues, environmental conflicts, you know, history in general, which often points to conflicts that are still going on or finally ended. I'm also interested in people who are activists working in the field, perhaps as an NGO, journalists, artists. Yeah, essentially, I'm interested in the people that normally don't get on the microphone.
Maybe give me an example. Tell me where you traveled last and what kind of stuff you reported on lately.
Okay, well, my last journey was to Kosovo, and I had been invited there by a magazine that thought my work was interesting. So I took advantage of their invitation and their hospitality, and I met one was one of the youngest sort of technology geeks, hackers in the country. He's about 17 years old, and he's already extremely active in a lot of projects for open source floss manuals. And he's generally interested in access to information for his country, Kosovo. And I just found him extremely fascinating, above all for his age, because as he taught me, most 17-year-olds in Kosovo are not so worried about freedom of information or any big issues regarding Kosovo or the world in general. And here I had this guy who was extremely engaged, doing his best without having a lot of money and a lot of power to make change in his country. That was one. I had a great Serbian Kosovar, herself a journalist or trying to be a journalist, who is of the age that she attended university when it was still Serbia. And her diploma is completely ignored everywhere she goes because it says Serbia on it, and it's no longer Serbia. But it's in the Serb area, so that university will not even cooperate to change the name on her diploma. They do not want to cooperate with anyone in Pristina, and that's where she lives. She happens to be in love with an Albanian gentleman. Neither family will talk to their children because they're in a relationship between cultures in Kosovo. So it became, I didn't realize this when I first met her, but she is living a lot of the bizarre, hard to believe, and really irritating situations that the average person in Kosovo has to tolerate. So often I go to these places and I'm there invited to do a job, teaching, helping, advising. And while I'm there, I'll pay attention and spot people that I would like to talk to for an interview, for an extended conversation.
You talk of interviews more like as extended conversations. Is there any time limit for you?
Within reason, I don't like limits. I find that someone's life can be more complicated than a 10-minute conversation, someone's work. And thankfully, as a citizen journalist on my own, I don't have to have a limit. I give myself a very general guide. I go for 30 minutes. I'm comfortable with that amount of time. I'm a little bit a younger generation that I get distracted very easily. So after 30 minutes, I lose focus, sadly. But still, if I'm having a great conversation, I let the recorder continue, and I'll go 45 minutes. So I'm not so worried about time. I never say the words, "We're almost out of time," to a guest. But I do try and keep it to a manageable amount of time, and I consider people that might be listening on a train, on a bike ride to work, or a car ride. I do think about that, because I listen at those times.
Podcasts have been around since maybe 10 years. People are able to publish audio material themselves, and everyone put big hopes on it when podcasts started. And now there's not so many podcasters, except in a few in Germany, but also in the US, who can make a living from being a podcaster. Can you? Where do you get your money from if this is your profession?
As a result of my podcast, although I don't get paid directly from it, I get these jobs. I go to Afghanistan, but I can even, in the Netherlands, I've been hired as an editor for a magazine, and they like me, so I'm back every month editing text. This earns me money that I can then use towards paying for food, rent. It's money that I earned, and if we follow where it comes from, it's related to my podcast. So, yes, I said yesterday when I was presenting on stage, my website and my work is my CV. It's my calling card. And this CV or calling card has generated work recognition, and that's how I'm able to live. I live on that. I live on my name, essentially. People trust my judgment. I've earned their trust, I think, over time, and I'll continue to, yes, make judgments on my own, but I also think of the audience as well.
Do you think that's a model that could suit for much more journalists? Should much more journalists work this way and be completely free, not working for stations, but being the radio stations themselves?
I don't know. I like a world of mixed media, and that includes actual media organizations with some traditional structure. I mean, I can't pretend like I don't consult the BBC or Deutsche Welle every now and then. I do. There's value there. So I wouldn't tell them to completely dump what they've been doing.
So you think there's going to be a mixed future in media and like the way media is created, like content is created?
I think it's a mix. It's not a 50-50 mix. We have it now, somewhat. I think that there could be an imbalance in the future when media companies that really are focused on money, this is a sort of a relationship that is hard to reconcile, the need to make money and the need to inform people. This can't last. I feel like the Karl Marx of radio, but it theoretically doesn't make sense, media as business, especially if your media is about informing. It's dangerous, and it's proven to be dangerous because we have such great amounts of information and yet such ill-informed people. So, yes, I think we need a mix, but I fear that because of money, big organizations that have been doing some good work will suddenly say, wait a minute, if podcasters are just home, let's send everybody home, let's pay them less, we'll be fine. I fear that a little bit, where all of a sudden the BBC just only accepts submitted videos from mobile phones. I see value in mobile phone videos and independent journalists, but I also see value in people that are dedicated and paid to do a long-term investigation, if we have any of those people left, right?
Unser Reporter Moritz Metz im Gespräch mit Mark Fonseca Rendero alias Bicycle Mark, ein Citizen Reporter, der seit 7 Jahren auf seiner Internetseite bloggt. Über 400 Folgen seines Podcasts gibt's da schon. Zu sehen, zu hören, sich anzugucken unter www.citizenreporter.org.